John, you have something? It is easy to take that which is essentially very simple and so complicated that we lose it. And how true this is to the believer's experience in prayer. Many individuals know nothing of praying or of prayer than the example set by the pastor on Sunday morning when he changes his vocabulary and his tone of voice and begins to talk to God in terms that no one understands. And the people come to think that that is praying, that if we're going to pray, we have to pray as the pastor prays in a formal prayer on Sunday morning. And we try, and we don't have the words, and we don't have the concepts, and we don't know the language, and so we don't pray. The prayer is one of the simplest and the easiest exercises if we understand that prayer is simply asking God for something. Basically, prayer is asking God for something. And while there are different kinds of prayer, as we saw last week, a prayer of worship, or as we shall see in a further study, prayer of intercession, yet basically prayer is a petition, a direct address in which one asks God for something. If I were to say to one of the ushers, turn off the light, that is a petition. That is a request. That is a prayer addressed in truth to another individual, but it is a prayer. If I ask, may I have something to eat? Will you give me something to eat? That addressed to another individual, truth, but it is a prayer. The Apostle Peter was praying when our Lord and the disciples entered into a ship, as recorded in the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 23. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We perish! And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And Peter addressed just three words to the Lord, as is translated in my English text, Lord, save us! And it's one of the most efficacious prayers that was ever prayed, because in a few moments of time, the Lord had spoken and had stilled the waves and quieted the storm and had brought the disciples in peace to the shore. It was a prayer. There was a petition addressed to the Lord. Or I think of a Peter another time when he saw the Lord walking to him across the water, and he clutched his coat about him and he cried out, depart from me, Lord, for I'm an unclean man. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. And that was a prayer. It was a request addressed to another. Now this kind of praying has several foundations or several presuppositions upon which a prayer or petition or a request of God is based. And I want to touch on these very briefly, and I don't believe it will be necessary for me to amplify them, and it will bring to your mind this simple truth. A prayer of petition is addressed to God on the basic presupposition that God is able to hear. There is no point in praying if God is unable to hear. I think of what James said in this connection, in the first chapter of his epistle, James 1, chapter 4, verse 5. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. And this asking of God is a prayer. And James told his disciples that they could petition or ask God for what they needed. We read in the 5th chapter of James, fourth chapter of James, in verse 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Ye have not because ye ask not. Or we read again that Elias in chapter 5 and verse 17, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And when Elisha would give a sign to the wicked king and queen, he simply said to God, God, stop the rain. The simple petition. And God heard and answered that petition, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But on what is this concept of praying based? It is on the proposition that God in heaven is able to hear prayer. I want you to hear again the words in 1 Kings chapter 18. We find here the prophet Elijah in contest with the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 25, you'll remember. They are to build their altars, and they are to put their sacrifices, and they are to pray to their gods that their gods will consume the sacrifice. And we read in verse 26 that the priests of Baal took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And we read in verse 28, they cried aloud, cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. Now what was the trouble? Elijah diagnosed the trouble accurately. The priests of Baal had no confidence that their God was able to hear a word addressed to him. And so they had to shout, they had to dance, they had to lacerate their bodies, they had to pour out their petition from morning until night. And Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a God, isn't he? Either he is talking, or is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. Now, Elijah says, it can't be that your God doesn't hear, can it? There must be some other reason he doesn't answer. He's busy. He's off. He's away from his office. Or he's occupied with others. It can't be that he doesn't hear, can it? And you see, the prophet had diagnosed their problem. They had no assurance that their God, the God of Baal, was able to hear. Now, if God cannot hear the cry of his children, prayer is the most useless thing in this world. It is an utter waste of time. If God can't hear, you might as well deliver your plea to the next deaf man that you meet on the street. But God, can God hear? You remember what the psalmist said? And I read in Psalm 34, verse 15 to 17, Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their trouble. And by cry, the psalmist does not mean shout at the top of their lungs. The word cry simply means to present a need, to call upon him in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, the Lord said. That's the cry he's talking about. I was asked a question at the close of service, or was written and handed in to me. Just incidentally, I would like to see a lot more of this. I cannot always anticipate your questions and the confusion that I create when I'm preaching, and to be able to straighten it out. And if you would ask questions, it would greatly help. In fact, I would like to set aside a few minutes in evening service for question and answer time when you address your questions to the pastor. And we take a few minutes to try to answer them. And it may be out of the context of what I'm preaching on, but it would help. But if you have hard ones, please ask them before these five fellows get scattered, will you? And I can ask them. And say the easy one for me. But this was the question I was asked. Does prayer have to be vocalized to be heard? Is silent prayer biblical? And I think the answer to that is very simple. Is God deaf? Is God deaf? No. Then why do you have to vocalize your prayer in order to be heard? It's not necessary to raise your voice. God knows not only the words that you verbalize, but He knows the desires of your heart. And there are some who are hard of hearing who are skilled in reading lips. But my God is not only good at reading lips, He's good at understanding the burden of my heart that is too heavy to put into words. That's what Paul had in mind when he speaks of the ministry of the Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that the Spirit maketh intercession in behalf of our unutterable groaning, is the way I think that ought to read. Yes, He can hear prayer. And prayer does not have to be vocalized in order to be heard, because God is not deaf. I do think that it helps us to vocalize prayer in order to be specific and to be definite and to express to the Lord exactly what we want. But there are times when the pressure is too great to even know how we ought to pray. And yet from the heart can grow up a cry, and God is able to hear and answer. Now, the only way we can fellowship together in prayer is to vocalize the prayer. If we have a prayer meeting and everybody prays silently, we may pour our hearts out to the Lord and we may be blessed in that praying. But I cannot say amen to what you're praying, nor can you say amen to what I'm praying. We cannot fellowship together in prayer unless prayer is vocalized. So prayer can be vocal or non-vocal, either one. Both are acceptable in the sight of God. God is able to hear. That's the first basis for presenting a petition. Now, the second proposition that I want to mention is that God is not only able to hear, but God is willing to hear. God is willing to hear. It's this question, is God approachable? Is God approachable? You remember when Queen Esther wanted to present her petition before the king? She called all of the praying people in the circle of her associates together in order that they might pray for her. She said, you pray for me, and I'll go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. What was the big question in Esther's mind? Is the king approachable? Dare I go into his presence to present my petition? And if God is unwilling to hear, then it's the same as though God were not able to hear, and it's pointless to pray. But we have an abundant testimony that God is willing to hear. I think of that passage in the fourth chapter of Hebrews where the apostle invites us to come with boldness under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find graces to help in time of need. Come to the throne of grace. Why? Because God is willing as well as able. I think our Lord taught the disciples this principle so clearly in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, in verses 11 to 13, when He asked a question. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And of course the answer is, why, that's ridiculous. A father delights to meet the needs of his children. A father is approachable. A father is willing to meet the needs of his children. And after He draws a lesson from that which is true in this life, He says in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And what He's trying to teach in that passage is that God is approachable. God is not only willing, or not only able to hear, but He is willing to hear. I remember as a lad hearing a woman tell of an experience that she had, in which she had invited a concert pianist into her home, and this pianist had consented to give a concert to a company of friends that she had collected in her living room. And the pianist was playing, and in the middle of one of his pieces, the hostess slipped out and was gone a few minutes, and then came back. And a friend by whom she was sitting kind of looked at her, obviously for an explanation, and in a pause in the music, she whispered and said, "I heard my baby cry upstairs." And the friend said, "I didn't hear anything." The mother said, "But I was listening." And above the resounding chords that came from that piano in response to that pianist's touch, the mother could hear a baby's cry. She was willing to hear. And then the third thing that I want to mention, and the third foundation, as the basis of our petition, is that God is not only able to hear and not only willing to hear, but God is able to answer. God is able to answer. If our God is an impotent God whose hands are tied, and that He might want to do something for us but finds it impossible to do anything for us because He is so bound and tied by natural law and preoccupied with His own affairs, prayer is utterly pointless and a waste of time. And my mind goes back to the testimony of a heathen king. And I'm looking into the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 6. You'll recall it is in that chapter that Daniel, because he was faithful in prayer to God, was thrown into a lion's den. And the king had these words to say to Daniel in Daniel 6:16. "The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee." Now this is not the testimony of a Bible preacher, nor an evangelist of the gospel. This is the testimony of a heathen king. And he said, "Daniel, thy God is able to deliver thee." And then in verse 20, "The next morning he came to the den and cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Thy God is able. Daniel, is thy God able? And Daniel replied, "My God is able." Daniel addressed a petition to a God for protection and deliverance from the ravenous lion, because he knew that God was able to hear, God was willing to hear, and God was able to answer. The apostle stated the same truth in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And my, how often we've counted on this. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh on us, unto him be glory." He is able. He is able. Or again, may I read from the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 37 and verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." God is able. And we address prayer of petition, in which we make a request of our Father, because he is able to give individual attention to each child as though we were the only child that he had. And he is willing to be approached. And he is able, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, able to grant that request. And then James has a very pertinent word. As he tells us, why, since God is able to hear and willing to hear and able to answer, we don't have what we need. And I read in James chapter 4 and verse 2, ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your life. Praying is simply asking God or asking your Father for what you, His child, need. And you ask because you know that you have His ear at any moment. He's able to hear. And He is approachable and willing to hear. And He has resources at His disposal that can meet any need. And as a father, He delights to give to His child. But He waits until the child asks. Beloved of God, learn to pray. Learn what it is to come to God in confidence, knowing that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. May God make us a praying people. We pray, our Father, that God the Holy Spirit may be pleased to teach us from these portions of the Word, that we who are so prone to go through the mechanics of prayer might realize that to pray we simply have to ask something and we receive our answer. We pray with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Dismiss us now with the riches of Thy grace and mercy and peace upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.